Okay, so but there was something about the idea that somebody with a lower rank could end up with a longer term.
Right, that's precisely the point.
How does that tell me how that works? Because I understand how it works in the 1 year, 3 year case, but there was a reason that that applies to even in an ongoing case.
Well, okay, that's what Serene explained in great detail. Although, I'm sorry to jump in, but Serene, when you make your comment, maybe it looks like this is all very well and good if you have two people resigning within the same month prior to an effort initiated to replace those persons. But it's not going to make any difference if one person resigns 1 month and then you replace them and then another person resigns the other month.
It still does.
In that very narrow situation where two people are resigning in the same month.
No, Jane, it actually makes a difference. What's that, Jane?
Yeah, I don't see how.
Yeah, it actually makes a difference if someone if more than one person resigns within the same term. Because for right now, we have two sets of people on the boards, people whose terms expire in December 06 and people whose terms expire in December 07. And we have, let's say, three runners up. Right now, if the person who leaves in December 06, let's say someone whose term expires in December 06 leaves this month, July, the first runner-up, the person who got the most number of voters, first place votes, but weren't placed on the board, they were unseated, they were unelected,
right,
they would inherit the rest of the 2006 term. Next month, if someone whose term expires in December 07 were to leave, we would go back to the runner-up list, and now we would take that second runner-up and have that person on the board until 07.
I see. So
that's the problem.
But so that's the condition in which you could get a lower rank, because I didn't understand it. So that's the condition in which you get lower rank candidates having longer terms than higher rank candidates.
Exactly. Higher ranked replacement candidates.
Okay. But I will say, just to finish, that what Lydia said to me makes the most sense, which is it's really up to the vagaries of the way the election fell whether the people who end up losing representation with that candidate get represented by the replacement candidate. And so it seems to me the better way to do is to rerun the election, although you still have that same problem you're raising.
No, you have a different situation. So you can put
you rerun the election, but it's still the case that whoever ends up getting may a ranking difference. But
no, it's different.
Well, my concern is that essentially every time someone leaves the board, we'll have to pay to have a new election rerun. I mean, using the same numbers, but we still have to pay for that service.
Once all the data are entered, it's a push of a button to rerun the election.
Right. We have to define what we mean by rerun the election.
You just rerun the
results. Well, we're rerunning the numbers.
Have another election.
But all the data are in there. It's just a matter of, what were you going to say, Max?
It's an electronic exercise. It's a very brief one. And this is something that can be done in a matter of minutes, really. Provided, of course, the person has the right software and the right file. But it's a very routine thing.
It's an interesting question whether rerunning it would make people who were presently on not win.
And it also means that we have to pay an election supervisor to recertify this new election.
Is there further discussion?
No one else is authorized to rerun this.
Pardon, Serene, could you repeat that?
Only the national election supervisor is authorized to certify the results of an election. So are we going to keep someone on retainer in case there's, rehire an election supervisor anytime that there's a resignation or a departure for whatever reason from any of the boards?
Mary Berg.
Go ahead, Mary.
And put
well,
me on
as
the
an answer
Dave.
To that, that's...
Okay, Mary, Lydia, anyone else?
This is Sandra.
Mary, Lydia,
Arpal, could I get on the set?
Sandra, Bob, Arpal, and I'm just going to put Rob on just because he hasn't talked.
Well, as to Serene's, the comment you just made, Serene, that's easily dealt with. We can have
things are really getting wild.
Yeah, someone's having a dance party.
If you're not
party,
speaking,
not
please hit star 6 to mute yourself.
And well, I ain't nobody's having a party where I am, I can tell you. So we could handle that in the procedures we're going to be writing up that don't about hiring the supervisor. We can have someone that's on tap, either that person or some certified person that's expert in that field. That's not to just come and do that simple thing. That's no big deal. But that is an issue, whether it would unseat people who are presently seated, and that would be an absurdity because then it wouldn't work. And I think we'd have to just kind of run a few or talk to some people and see what would happen with that. I do think it's possible, from what I know of these calculations, that we could end up doing that, which is not what we're trying to do. So I don't know. I see the problem, and I agree it's a problem, but I'm not clear at this point. I wasn't able to be on that call, and I have when we had the meeting on the 20th, to where we discussed it, and I haven't worked it through myself, so I'm going to have to just abstain, I think. I don't think I'm prepared to say that this is a solution. This doesn't look right to me either, and yet I think we need a solution. So that's...
Next is Lydia... Sandra, Bob, Arpal, and Rob, if you want to.
Put me on the stack, please.
Max. I was almost going to put you on just the way I did Rob, because you haven't spoken much.
Okay. What I had proposed initially, but I withdrew this one at the local group once they proposed the rerunning of the election, but I had originally proposed that you go to the highest-ranked person for that election period. So for the shorter term, you would go to the previous election and see who the alternate was. That's not the way the bylaws are written right now, I know that. Mm-hmm. But that, in my mind's eye, you would at least get the highest ranking for each of those terms. That was one way to do it. But once we went to the rerunning of the elections, I thought that was a better way to go, although you end up doing the same thing because you'd have to rerun that first election if a member of that first election vacates. But I had a question for Serene. So does this mean that, for example, if someone in your proposal, if someone vacates and they inherit a shorter term, but then a lower ranked person would be filling a second vacancy, that the person who thought they had a shorter term would then get the longer term?
Yes.
And so you I don't think, and I think this is really problematic, is I don't think you can have, someone in there thinking they're going to be on for whatever length of time it is and then changing their term. I don't think you can play
with
terms. Once you get a seat, it's for whatever term you do. I can't.
No, when they ran in the election, they were running in the most recent election, which term is due to expire on December 07. And knowing that the new policy, that the correction is in place, they will know that if there is, in fact, another vacancy during the term, that they would be eligible for the higher term, for the longer term. It's the term they ran for.
I'm going to put myself on the stack after Max. Are you done, Lydia?
Yes.
Sandra.
Hey, okay. I think I'm in support of this amendment. I'm not sure if I understand it correctly, but going from what happened in Houston, when we had a three-year term person resign from the board, the next person to be seated would have been someone that only got a one-year term, and that person was seated in a three-year term position. I objected strongly to that, not to the person, because she's a great board member, but the fact that the next runner-up for the three-year term should have been bumped up to that three-year term, and then the next person would be seated in a one-year term. And I'm in agreement. I would support the amendment if that's, in fact, what it's saying. Rerunning elections is a no-go with me. That, again, you get into that issue of having to have an election supervisor to recertify results. We already have the elections. We already have the results. There's a whole slew of people who didn't win but who did place and were not seated, and we need to draw from that pool of candidates. But I think it's important. If a person with a longer term leaves, then the next person up for that longer term should be promoted to the longer term and their position filled by a person that would be the next runner up for a shorter term. Serene, is that what you're saying?
Do you want to answer that, Serene?
Yes.
Are we doing anything with the book?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. No. If that's what you're saying, then yes, I agree with that. That's
yes,
not
it is what I'm saying.
Happen. I would like to see that happen very much.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Bob.
Okay, well, I just want to agree with everything Sandra just said and add that the proposal to rerun the numbers, unless I'm missing something, would not actually correct the original problem that Serene was posing of a lower-ranked person getting a longer term than a higher ranked person. So in addition to all the other practical objections that Sandra and others have raised, so I just wanted to add that in the mix.
Hello, this is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay. R. Paul.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I have a problem with this thing because first of all, we don't have any one-year terms anymore, so it's not tremendously disparate. And besides which, they weren't one-year terms in the first place. They were nine-month terms. The idea behind an election is you do it, you determine what people want, and you're done. You go by the rules, you set it up, you have results. None of the runners-up has been elected to anything. The runners-up become eligible for a pool of replacements. And they're set in their particular order because then they get the first opportunity to come in, and that's it. Nobody gets guaranteed you're going to get something longer than the other guy got because your votes and all that. They're a pool. They're an ordered pool. So I don't think for that reason we should change the way the bylaws are. Also, I think there's a conflict of interest for those people who are on the LSB, because then there could be motivations to, one way or another, maybe lean towards changing it because somebody might vote somehow differently or do something differently, because then that would get them a longer term than they currently are sitting in right now. And for these reasons, I don't think we should change the bylaws on this issue at all. I think it's not broken, so I don't think we should try to fix it.
Next is, I was joking, but Rob, do you want to speak by any chance?
Nope.
Okay. Max.
Yeah, well, this business of rerunning things electronically has to do with the beauty of STV using electronic means. It's a very straightforward thing. Somebody leaves, then you rerun the elections as a way, as a mechanism for assigning the votes that person got in that particular election to the runner-ups in that particular election. It's a very straightforward thing, and it takes care of the problem, it seems to me. And this points to the need for us to maintain records. And I suspect we'll have to work with an outfit on a retainer basis so that electronically we can revisit these elections precisely to make these adjustments, but with the assistance of somebody who knows what he or she is doing. And it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's very fair because it's the essence of STV to transfer votes that the person leaving had to the runner-ups, and you do that electronically. It's very straightforward in my mind, as long as you work with people who know what the hell they're doing.
Okay, I'm next, and then Grace. The issue I have with it is that I just don't feel it's ripe as a proposal. I think in all of these things, they need to be chewed on, and that was sort of the point of a bylaws convention. And I think Jane, commented that it really does. I mean, first of all, I don't know that we've had on any board yet two replacements. And the difference in the term, if we have the two, will be 1 year at this point. So I don't consider it a matter of crucially pressing importance, and I'm uncomfortable taking action without some further discussion, because there may be other solutions to this problem. Once you start changing the bylaws without having had that level of discussion, and then people say, oh, well, wait, there's this other problem, or I think it should be this other way. Not to be a stick in the mud, but I just am not comfortable with it, and I don't feel it urgent enough to act on at this time. I understood the rationale given earlier, but so I wouldn't be in favor of it, even though I understand the concept. Grace.
I'm in favor of it because it seems to just add fairness to the process. In terms of running the numbers, the election again with STV, I think that that's a separate issue. But I think that it's just fairer to get to allow the larger vote getter to have a longer term, if I'm reading it properly. Now, in the wording of this bylaws amendment change, is it going to be very clear what is meant, or does it need to be worded so that the meaning is not equivocal, so that we know everybody who reads it who's not on this committee understands it completely? That's a question I have.
Serene, do you want to speak to that, and then I'd like to speak to it?
Yeah, well, I think it's not. I think it's a simple concept, but it doesn't become immediately clear what the significance is. So it's going to require a couple of rereadings, even if you're a bylaws hog. And I'm welcome to, you know, I welcome any adjustments in the language that you think would make it clearer. And I'd like to get on the stack after Dave.
I would like to get on the stack too, Mary Bird.
Okay, who said, Serene, you said you'd like to be back on the stack after me?
Yes.
Okay, and then Mary and Jane, was that you I heard?
No, I just wanted Serene to answer the question I raised earlier. How does it have any impact on resignations that occur a month or two apart, that don't occur in the same month? I don't understand how it has any impact at all on that.
Because the issue is not, because the issue is within the same election period, between now and the next election, the membership of the board is going to be the current membership, I should say replacement candidates are coming off of the same list. So depending on you can't determine the order in which people are going to resign. There's no way to predict, you know, what's going to happen to any of us. You could very well have someone, the problem isn't an issue, it isn't an issue if the person with the longer term is the first person to resign. But if someone with a shorter term resigns, the number one runner-up is going to get, as things stand now, the number one runner-up will get that shorter term.
Okay,
and it's 2 months down the road.
2 months later, somebody else with a longer term.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second runner-up gets that seat. Then what are you saying happens? You're saying
I'm saying the second runner-up should never inherit a longer term than the first runner-up. I mean, obviously, the first runner-up gets to be on the board first, but they should also get to be on the board longer since they had more voter support.
Okay, my comment.
Do you know what I mean?
Are you cool with that, Jane?
Well, yeah, but the mechanism of it is not apparent. That's fine.
Yeah. I two things I have. One is that really, in a way, though, what this does is it extends the term of somebody who's sitting as a delegate in the event that a certain set of things happen.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Because you're, when you got seated, when your first, so the first delegate resigns, you just got mm-hmm. seated. They had a shorter term. The second delegate resigns, you just get your term extended as a sitting delegate. You got one term when you sat down, and now it's being extended. So I'm not clear that that's not something that has to go to a membership vote,
right,
because that's entirely what your motion is about, extending the term of a delegate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me answer. Can I answer?
Yeah,
there's more,
and okay, you can take it all at once. The people who are saying, I support this if I understand it correctly, to me, I would urge somebody not to vote on a bylaws amendment that you think you understand and
right.
you support the general idea. That was the point I was making earlier,
mm-hmm.
that unless you understand it clearly and all the implications of the language, and this is not to say that there's something, you know, in it that's whatever, you know, bad, good, whatever. It's like, just speaking for myself, I know when I look back at many of my own ideas, I realize there were things in there I didn't understand the implications of, and so I don't think it's responsible to vote on something that you're not absolutely clear on all the meaning and implications about when you're talking about things at the level of bylaws. That said, in this case, to me, the issue is not that great an issue. At the level we're talking about, the differences that I recall from looking at these things between the vote support of these different candidates who are first runner-up and second runner-up are razor thin very often. So to me, you know, and you're talking about a difference of a term of a year, essentially, because there's some people with 2 year term, I mean, who's, the difference between the two groups on the board is 1 year. So you're talking about a difference of 1 year and razor thin margins in the runner-ups. And to me, it's just, you know, it's not a crucial issue. I don't fully understand the language. I think there may be other things that might be addressed, et cetera. Those are my issues. Go ahead. Do you want to respond to what I said, Serene, and then Mary's next on the stack? Or you're on the stack anyway, so go.
Well, I wanted to, you said that if someone isn't absolutely sure of all the implications, then they shouldn't vote for it. I think that's the whole point of a discussion, so that we can hash out any of the misunderstandings or lack of clarity around the issue. So I think that is precisely the point of a discussion. So if someone has something that they're not absolutely sure about, this is the forum in which they're supposed to bring it up. They're not supposed to simply abstain because or vote against it. And with regard to this bylaw change being an extension of someone's term, if the change precedes, if this correction, because that's what I consider it, really, it's just one more thing that we didn't focus on because we were focusing on other things during the process. If this correction precedes any replacement, then it is in fact not an extension. It will then be the rule by which people get seated. They will know coming onto the board that your term, you ran for a term that expires in 2007, and at this point your term is 2006. Should another vacancy occur, that's very different, I think, from simply, you know, randomly changing someone's term. I think it's very different.
It is, but it functionally extends the terms of people
mm-hmm.
seated
right.
in replacement seats.
Well, they're conditionally seated.
I won't argue it. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay. I understand certainly with the results of the elections that there might have been, as you say, razor-thin differences between the last person to be seated and the first person who was not elected. But it may be a very thin change in terms of the actual numbers of votes, but it's a significant difference. It's a difference between being on the board and not. And the suggestion that 1 year is insignificant in the life of a board that has of a member that has a 3 year term, that's one third, and in the life of a national board member, that's their entire term. So 1 year is not insignificant. This is not a new idea. I've actually been sort of bugging you guys about this on the national board for more than a year, because I noticed it very soon after we were seated last year. So I do think it's something that is important and that needs to be addressed, and I'll save the rest of my response. Well, I don't know. I have other things to say, but I think, I don't know if I'm next on the stack, and I don't know whether I've answered
it.
No,
okay.
No, you're next. You're
on.
This was your turn on the stack, so go ahead with what you have to say.
Oh, I thought that was her turn. Okay, sorry.
No, she was responding to what I asked, but I mean, I'm not asking her for a response to everything, but if you're on the stack, so just go ahead.
Okay. I do think that the voters have spoken, that we had an election, and that right now we're actually in very difficult financial straits, in certainly in New York and in other areas as well. So the idea of keeping anyone on retainer to do anything or spending any money that isn't necessary is not something that I'm in favor of. I think that there's no authorization in the bylaws to have elections rerun, and that that would be overstepping. I'm concerned, obviously, about the cost. And I think voters have, you know, we have all, because I'm a member, by contribution as well as by work, and we've already paid for one election. And I don't see why we have to keep paying for elections as vacancies may or may not occur. I think we have a list, and we should simply honor the list. The list, as presented, shows the order in which people were ranked by the people who participated in this election. And we just have to make sure that we put a mechanism in place so that that their voice, our voice, is heard and followed. I really don't think it's that complicated.
Mary, and I have another thing. Yeah, Mary, you're next.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about it as we're talking, and yes, it could definitely alter a person's term. The fact that it was a mistake in the bylaws in the first place, and the term isn't reasonably, the bylaws didn't intend to be doing it, it was an unforeseen consequence, that doesn't matter. The bare-ass language is, if you alter the length of the term, you have to have a membership election. So I think this would trigger a can of worms to bring it up at this time. I agree with Dave that we need to think about it some more. We would not need to pay someone on retainer just in the event that this might happen. We just hire someone, either that supervisor or someone certified, qualified in this election performance to do the 5 minutes to run the election. But I think mainly we're just not in a position to vote on it tonight, so what I want to do is move to table this, especially as we're now almost 10 minutes over our time.
Would you consider... No, we're not.
Aren't
would
we?
You consider
we've
holding
on... We've still got like 8 minutes left.
Oh, have we? Okay.
Mary, a motion to table isn't debatable, can I just ask if you'd be willing to hold off on
it? Sure, okay. I just thought, but I don't want to vote tonight. That's
okay.
All I don't want to do. I don't...
Okay.
It doesn't sound like other people are better equipped to vote than I am, and we don't know the ramifications of rerunning the election. That the issue was brought up, what if this did unseat someone? I can think of a solution for that. You declare them all undefeatable except in a it's not something we could. I think we need to know more about it, because I can think of this in my head, but I like to have a little more facts about it and see if there are other solutions, because this one also seems problematic.
Well,
I just don't think we know enough.
Yeah, we've been discussing it. Let's vote on it at some point.
Okay, well
I
have,
if we don't know what we're talking about.
I put myself on the stack again. And
This is Grace. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, and I have a technical question.
We're Serene. On the stack.
Grace R. Paul. Serene, let us say that there was a resignation, and then another resignation, and then another election, and then another resignation. Does the language of this ensure that the same person doesn't keep getting bumped into extended terms so they could actually end up with multiple terms just stringing along time after time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know the language clearly enough. Does it exclude that?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't see how that's possible. The longest your term can be, anyone who's currently on the board, is 2007.
Right. But what I'm saying is, let's say we have an election, another election, and now somebody from that election resigns. Do I get bumped up, from
the
most recent election?
Right.
The pool changes. Got it.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, Grace.
In rereading the first part of the amendment change a couple of times, it is pretty clear to me what is meant. It's just one sentence in the first, or two sentences. No, one sentence in the first part. And I think if you're in the situation and you read it a couple of times, you would get it. Now that I'm rereading it, though, I have problem with the second part of this. That says, then the highest ranked eligible, in the event that no eligible and available candidate from the last election is found, then the highest ranked eligible and available candidate from the previous election shall be seated. If none such is found, then the delegates for the radio station shall appoint a member of the appropriate class to serve as delegate and fill the seat for the remainder of the term. I see a problem with that because an election is the elections are only going to be held possibly every 2 years. It's conceivable that if none are eligible found in the latest election, then you have to go back to the previous election, and then many of those people may not be available to serve, and you may go down the list to a candidate that is ranked so low that, in a sense, the electorate or the listener sponsors have deemed that candidate to be unacceptable to some extent, rank them number 30 on their list or something like that. So I don't know if it helps the quality of the LSBs to go back that far in time, because people move on with their lives and they may no longer be willing to serve. So I think now, from looking at it again, the first part I think does add fairness to the process, but the second part creates a different problem.
Art Paul.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, there is the question here of, is this going to extend basically extend somebody's term? What if a vacancy occurs as an election is happening? We could, you know, that could actually just screw things up. You could end up with an election about to happen, and what if the ballots are mailed out and somebody resigns, and bang, somebody's suddenly on there for whatever's left of a term, whatever it is, maybe only a year, and the election is happening, the ballots are out, the person who was the runner-up and is now in that one-year term was on the ballot, it's going to screw things up. On top of which, I'm not sure that the motion itself, from some of the wording, I'm not sure if it's accomplishing what it wants to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will support the motion to table when it comes up, because I think this needs a lot more looking at and a lot more running of scenarios, because we're coming up with various things here. Dave Adelson has come up with something I hadn't thought of, and that needs to be, you know, looked at. So I think we should indeed table this when it comes up, but if we don't table it, I'll have to vote against it because it needs more looking at.
Hi, it's Serene. May I respond to Grace?
Yeah. Can I put in one more thing and then you respond to both of them?
Okay.
The thing that I have issue with on this particular issue of replacement was that there's no fleshing, and this doesn't have to do with your amendment. It has to do with another amendment I thought was needed. There's no fleshing out of timeline. So where it was an issue was in the case of Mark Roberts' resignation. I think the board in D.C., they wanted him to come back. They worked with it. There were other people who have said, I'm leaving, and then they came back, or boards wanted to try to convince them to come back. That happened when Mike Martin did it. And then there was a certain amount of hubbub that, oh, you don't want to fill the seat because you don't want the runner-up, blah, blah, blah. So there's no guidance in the bylaws that sets a timeline. And I think when we amend this thing, and maybe, you know, it would be done separately if people really loved this, but I think this clause should also include things like, you know, in the event of a resignation, the board must act within X weeks. So that, because in the absence of that, you know, it was just a hang fire kind of thing. And indeed, the situation that R. Paul raised was Mark, when he resigned, I think, it was November, December, Jane can correct me. But that board was essentially, I believe, decided to wait until the election. I forget the details of it, but there were issues like that, and then questions of who was going to fill, and he actually came back in. So the absence of clarity about how you fill and some of these other things are things that I think do need to get folded into an amendment to this portion of the bylaws at some point.
Can I comment on that?
So, okay, go ahead, Serene. Oh, Jane, did you want to clarify, and is that okay with you, Serene, before you answer?
Yeah, sure. Yes, go ahead.
Just on the points that Dave was just raising, I would hope that we would not go for bylaws amendments to clarify these things, but instead put these things in policy manuals.
Absolutely.
Well, the problem with that is that policies can be adjusted by any board at any time.
I still would prefer myself.
Okay. Serene, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to suggest just that. It's a different part of the bylaws. It's Section 4.9 on the removal of delegates, and you can certainly build policy around that, what constitutes the resignation, a certain amount of notice, or whatever the case is. So, yes, we can deal with that in policy. With regard to Grace's concerns about going back to the pool from the previous election, when I initially talked about it, I actually had some concerns about using that as a backup pool, if you will, because I felt that, in fact, people who had, and here I am arguing against myself in a way, but I felt that people who had run initially in 2003-2004 had an opportunity, if they wanted to continue to be involved in governance at that level, to run again. But someone suggested that, in fact, going back to the previous pool at least gives some guidance about how this replacement person would be found if, in fact, no one from the current pool was eligible and available. Right now, the bylaws language says you use the current pool or the board just picks somebody, and there are no limitations, no restraints, no suggestions as to how you, quote, appoint a member of the appropriate class. And using the old election pool, at least some, you know, tailored or put some sort of boundary around, you know, this person or these persons who would then become available. I thought that was then a decent enough argument to include it.
Okay, we're at time for the agenda.
There's
a motion to extend.
That we extend 10 minutes?
No.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Who's extending?
Serene, you were speaking, and were you just not finished speaking?
Well, I wanted to find out from Grace whether I had answered her question.
Well, let's do that, and then we'll see if we... I won't close it until you've resolved that.
It answers my question, but I think the cure is worse than the disease.
Okay. So do you still want to move to extend, Serene?
Sure. Are you making a motion to remove it, Grace?
I would be happy with the first part if the second part were eliminated.
Is that a motion then?
Well, wait a sec.
If
we're going to do this, I want a motion to extend time.
I move to extend time 5 minutes by 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Okay. Second.
Seconded.
Okay. Is there objection? Okay. Go 5 more minutes before we close and move to action.
Okay. I move that we amend this motion to amend the bylaws by striking out the second change.
So actually it would be the third change, right? Because during a term as opposed to midterm is the first.
Wait.
If you have the motion in front of you.
Yes, I see.
Okay.
During a term, yes. Okay, the third change.
Okay, wait.
The change in the second paragraph, which is the third change in the motion, in the bylaws, in that particular section.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that. Is there anybody else who would?
Well, I'd like it clarified. I guess I'm not looking at the right thing.
Could you clarify?
I'm not sure where I'm.
Sure. Right now, the bylaw says that if someone resigns, we go to the pool from the last election and place the next person up into that spot. We are trying to do three things in this amendment. One is to change the term midterm, which means, you know, a year and a half into the process. We're changing that to during the term so that if it's 2 years into the process, a board isn't then forced to function without a member for a year, which may sound insignificant, but it's 12 local board meetings and God knows how many committee meetings. So it does matter in terms of just distributing the work. So that's the first change, changing midterm
to during a term. The second change is working the language so that the highest vote getter on the runner-up pile always gets the most amount of time available, you know, for a replacement candidate. And the third change says that if there's no one from the pool of that most recent election, we would, instead of just picking a member,
okay,
because there's no restriction on how this member should be recognized, acknowledged, determined, created, that so, the board can then, the amendment which was initially offered and which Grace has concerns about, says that, okay, if you can't use the most recent pool, then you go to the pool from the first election.
Well, now, is that part, that's what I'm, which part
I am,
is Grace?
I am not getting what this amendment is.
Yeah, Grace,
well,
which
we'll
part are you
we'll
wanting
get.
To keep?
Grace wants to remove any consideration of going back to the pool from the previous election.
Well, then what, specifically, what is the language we would be looking at?
We would be, we're moving, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see where it is in this proposed bylaws amendment. Okay.
It has the whereas
go down. It has whereas, and then it has a second whereas.
Yeah.
Then it has be it resolved.
Yeah.
And then you go down further.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a second change. It says section 2A or 2B of this article, these bylaws, should more than one such vacancy occur, blah, 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 that
okay.
we keep in. Then in the next paragraph, okay, there's another addition. It says, then the highest ranked eligible and available
okay, so,
candidate.
Excuse me, so it, all you would vote on is the paragraph that starts, if a delegate position becomes vacant and it ends, obtains the longest available term. And that's what we're voting on.
Okay, yes, but
there
is
that,
a slight.
That starts in the event that no eligible and available, that's what you would remove. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And there was a second paragraph.
I'd like to speak to it if no one else has wanted to speak.
Yeah.
I know I'm talking a lot, so
right,
I prefer if anyone else wants to go
people.
First.
I think
does anybody need it
Ron,
ready?
Who's making
no.
the amendment?
I am.
Aaron is making the amendment.
Aaron.
And the second is by... Oh, we don't need a second in committee.
Should I read what this amendment is that I have?
Please.
Okay, the amendment by Aaron is to strike out the following. In the event that no eligible and available candidate from the last election is found, then the highest ranked eligible and available candidate from the previous election shall be seated. If none such is found, then the delegates for that radio station shall appoint a member of the appropriate class to serve as a delegate and fill the seat for the remainder of the term.
Okay, I'd like to address it, which is in great. I agree very much with Grace's initially stated concern, and I would like to see the thing says later. If you can't do it, then there's you appoint somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I would like there to be a threshold established. Maybe you could make that a threshold that's established by national board policy that says if you got less than this much, no, we don't go below that. So that if you're looking to find people and you haven't found this one, you haven't found that one, you don't go down below a certain level. But I can't develop that language on the spur of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that protection.
Dave, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You're suggesting that the language, that the original language that says you shall appoint a member, now determine that that member cannot be from... among people who have previously run but received...
No, no. Mm-mm, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you avail yourself of that mechanism where you appoint... So, in other words, it says if you can't find somebody appropriate and you've gone back and there's nobody available, then the board just appoints somebody? Isn't that what it says now?
Well, the
yeah.
original language says that you can just appoint someone if there's no one from the first, from
right.
the current group.
Right. Okay, so what I'm saying is that I would rather have... member delegates who were elected with substantial voter support choosing somebody then taking somebody who couldn't get above a certain threshold. I don't know what that threshold is offhand, and I'd be happy to leave it to be a policy that a board would set rather than having to figure it out and put it in a bylaw. But right this second. I mean, I'm opposed. I'm going to abstain, I've decided, because I'm opposed to doing this. There's too many moving parts, and
mm-hmm.
it feels too quick for me. But in addressing Grace's concern, I don't think what she's done to your amendment addresses the concern as well as establishing a threshold below which somebody would not automatically be granted a seat just because they were the person you can find.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Point of order, I think our time is up.
Yep.
Would anybody like to extend it, or should we move to vote?
5 minutes till 9. Just move to vote.
This is Sandra, and I'd like to move to vote.
Okay, well, if anybody wants to not move to vote, you've got to say it now. Otherwise, now we are going to go to a vote, or if there's a motion to table, that's in order.
I would make a motion to table.
Okay, there's been a motion to table. Paul, remind me, this is a simple majority?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you call the roll on the motion to table?
Hello?
Yeah.
He's getting his list together.
To get the macro.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Grace Aaron.
Abstain.
Dave Adelson.
Abstain.
Mary Berg.
Yes.
Teresa Allen. Max Blacher.
Yes.
Thank you, Denise.
Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Marty Derlin. Jane Gatewood.
Yes.
Bob Lederer.
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Sarv Randhawa. Sandra Rawline.
Yes, table it.
Doreen Roberts.
No.
Rob Robinson. Rob Robinson.
No.
Deb Shafto. Hakim Takash. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I have 6 yes, 3 no, 2 abstentions.
So the unfortunately,
passed.
Yeah, there was a mistake.
Chair declared passed.
There was a mistake, which is you should say table until when?
Until the next meeting.
No, table is point of order.
Oh.
Table is just table, not postponed to a certain time. Most of the table means it's table.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Can you clarify for me what it means in if somebody wants to now bring this up again?
They have to make a motion to take it from the table.
Right.
And that's a simple majority as well.
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's the end of our agenda. I will see everybody.
Oh, wait, this is Lydia.
Yeah?
There is something that I forgot. I need 6 PMB directors to put this forward. Dave, since you're abstaining, so I assume you're not one of them, right?
I mean, I'm willing to do it on behalf of the committee, but...
Oh, okay.
Wait, let me just ask. Isn't it something that can be put forth by a committee?
All I know is that according to the bylaws, it says six directors or the member petition. So the safest thing is to have 6 directors.
But wait, no, that's... 6 can put it before the membership, right?
No.
It says amendments may be proposed by, and it's either 6 directors, a majority of 2 LSBs, or 1% of the members.
Okay, but if the committee brings it to the board and the board votes on it, isn't that the 6 members, or is that?
I think so, but just to be on the safe side, I would like to have 6 directors. As I forward this out to the board, or do you think that's not necessary?
Well, no, Serene, what do you
think? Yeah. I think it's wise to have it.
Okay, well, I'm perfectly happy to do it on behalf of the committee, even though
and
I abstained.
Sure.
Okay, so Rob.
And Bob.
Sure.
Bob, and who are our other members? PMB
Marty Derlin said she would do it. So Dave Adelson, Marty Derlin, Bob Letter, Rob Robinson, Julie Rodriguez said she would do it.
Okay.
I'm short one. Can someone get one?
Sarv will probably
do it. Teresa
would do it? Okay.
She probably would, yeah.
Okay.
Will you tell her?
Sure. If someone will send me the thing, I will send it to the board and ask for those members who would like to put it forth. And if there is more than 6, I will take my name off just because I don't feel I'm expert in this.
That's okay. We'll drill you between now and then.
Well, we can ask. Don't forget to check.
What does that have to do with you putting it forward, David?
Because if it's already going forward, I don't feel comfortable having my name on something that that's why I abstain in lots of things. If I'm not clear, I don't take
mm-hmm.
a position. I leave it to the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that as in my role as chair, but I wouldn't want that to be.
Okay. Here was my my thing. What I would prefer doing is having either any of the other members, if someone could check with Teresa, and Sarv, or can someone just
sure.
email me and let me know that they would be okay with this? I think because the thing is that if I send this to be distributed to the PMB as an amendment, then it probably should have the six names on it, I think.
Well, I think the best way to do it is ask the secretary of the committee to forward to the PMB that the motion was passed, noting that it requires six directors and asking that
Okay, but you'll do that tonight? Because I had promised Julie that I would get it out to make sure that there, you know, everybody gets to read the...
I would ask that our Paul do it as secretary since he has the exact text.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So you want me to send this to the PNB and say exactly what?
That the bylaws, the thing that Serene read from the bylaws, if you can just copy that in, say it requires six members to propose it, and could those members willing to propose it notify me?
It's Article 17, 1A1.
Isn't it attached to Lydia's document?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So it's on Lydia's document. You
yep.
have it.
Paul, you want me to just send you my document because it has the motivational thing on it. It has the thing that was set to this, and it contrasts the two timelines.
Well, actually, my thought was I would simply send the part of the minutes here, and then just tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, however you want to handle it.
Because it's in there, the minutes.
And tell them to notify Dave Adelson if they want to be in those six, right?
Sounds fine to me.
Well, I think this is Bob. I think the motivational piece really should go with it, or else
yeah.
it won't be clear to a lot of people.
They won't know what it's about. I agree.
Yep.
It can be an appendix. It doesn't have to be an official part thing that was adopted by the committee.
But it has to be there.
Yeah.
Readily
just say that the working group gave the following justification.
Does anybody object to sending? Does anybody object to sending that part out with it?
No, not at all.
No,
we need that part.
and what we're changing? I mean, so it has, you know, the way I sent it out with the two dates, what we had and what we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You want me to resend it to you so you can just modify
it? In front of me.
Okay.
So I have the I have what we passed. I have what you sent me. So.
Okay.
And we wouldn't want you to resend it.
No, no, because the thing
no,
is.
No, we wouldn't.
Okay, because what we really want to preserve there, what's really important, is that on the 26th, the GMs have to start doing the carts, which.
Yeah, and that should be. You should. That needs to be in there, explained to people, so they understand why the. Why now, so it nobody tables it?
How about mm-hmm. this? Why don't I set this thing up and send it to the list
mm-hmm.
so that everybody can make sure that what
good
I'm going to send to the PNB is exactly what you all want me
cool.
to do.
Cool.
All right?
I
okay.
like that.
Okay, all right with
that
people?
Cool with me.
Well, with the one-day, 24-hour turnaround, because the PNB really needs this.
Yeah.
Well, we
yeah.
could just do it right this minute. We don't need it. Let's have just...
Or even a, you know...
No, let's just
so we can look at it and make sure otherwise.
Yeah.
Folks, I'll let you do this. I'd like to adjourn the meeting and you guys can work
okay.
out these details.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any reason?
Dave, just quick question. When is our next meeting?
The next Thursday.
Okay.
It's only 6 days away.
Good
it's
God.
On the 28th, right?
Only.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, kids,
so
I don't know if this is Sandra from Houston. If it's on the last few days of the month, I'm 99% sure I'm not going to be able to attend because the end of the month is really, really hectic for me.
We scheduled the end of the month for the whole year.
I know
well,
this.
The last Thursday.
Well, in that case, we may, at next meeting, the one I think in September runs right into the PMB meeting, so if that's the case, you can never make it, we might consider changing it to the third Thursday from the fourth.
Yeah,
but let's deal with that.
I'll do my best, the LSD, Dave.
Okay, whatever. We'll deal with that next week.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes. Yes.
I move to adjourn.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank
Have a good night.
Both.
Good night.
Well, we just declare we're adjourned. Okay.